an air quality update, and the Chilkat Challenge triathlon results. This is your KHNS Local News. I'm Claire Strempel. Those stories and more are up next. Extreme fire conditions persist in Haines and Skagway, and local fire departments have maintained a ban on all open fires. As Haines experienced record-breaking heat over the weekend, heavy smoke poured into the region from large fires in the north. KHNS's Henry Leisha has more.
Mark Smith is a meteorologist with the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation, or DEC. He works with the agency's Air Monitoring and Quality Assurance Group. According to Smith, a combination of high pressure and wind from the north has created a thick haze over southeast Alaska.
We've had a high pressure centered in south central Alaska, and the upper level flow, which is from the north, is bringing in the smoke from the Yukon. And there's probably about 7 or 8 nice-sized fires in the Yukon that's directly contributing to the smoke that's in the panhandle.
One large fire southeast of Dawson City has grown to over 100,000 acres in size. There are also a number of smaller fires closer to the border near Haines Junction and Whitehorse. Smith says smoke from those fires will continue to linger in the Upper Lynn Canal this week.
So we're foreseeing a northerly push of that smoke into the panhandle off and on, at least over the next week, until the weather pattern breaks down. And once we get some lows moving in, it'll change the weather pattern and clean out the air.
Air sampling machines in Juneau recently recorded levels of particulates in the air that are unhealthy for children, the elderly, and people with respiratory issues. There are no air samplers in Haines or Skagway. However, Smith says there are ways to estimate local air quality based on visibility.
Somebody lives in Haines, somebody lives in Skagway, they pretty much know how far away that, you know, the closest mountain ridge is. They know the different visibilities, and then they can, using the visibility chart on our advisories, come to a good rough estimate of what the air quality would be based on that visibility.
When wildfire smoke reduces visibility to 2.5 miles, DEC says air quality is unhealthy. When visibility is less than a mile, according to DEC, that is hazardous. The smokiest conditions occur overnight and during the early morning hours as the atmosphere cools and brings smoke to the surface. During the day, surface heating mixes smoke and carries it upwards, temporarily improving air quality. But smoke hasn't been the only issue caused by the wildfires. A fire that started near Beaver Creek, Yukon over the weekend forced an evacuation of a nearby campground and closed parts of the Alaska Highway for several hours. The highway has since reopened, but officials warn that roads can close with short notice depending on the fire conditions. In Haines, I'm Henry Leisha.
The Chilkat Challenge is a 40-mile paddle, cycle, and run event. Its aim is to bring awareness and athleticism to the river that gives the Chilkat Valley its name. This Saturday was the third annual race. Race Marshal Gershon Cohen says the turnout just keeps growing.
We had a great race this year, about 20% more folks than last year, which was about 20% more than the year before.
And that's despite record-breaking heat and dubious air quality. Those were among the challenges racers faced this weekend. About 60 competitors gutted it out and put up impressive times. Top finishers came in well under 4 hours. Cohen says that the river was high and fast, but community support kept paddlers on track.
We had Scott Ramsey and Steve Ock were in the water in dry suits, literally catching the boats as they were coming by into the eddy at 21 mile. Everybody got out just fine.
He credits CECON with hard packing the unpaved sections of highway so that cyclists could traverse without incident. Only one racer suffered flat tires. There were several no-shows, which Cohen attributes to the heat and air quality, but only one racer scratched or did not finish the race. An errant paddle swatted a bee's nest, and that competitor was stung while paddling. That caused so much swelling in his foot that he could not put on his cycling shoes and finish the race. Haines-based guide Liam Grevin finished in 3 hours and 10 minutes, the fastest time of the day.
Which was insane. I was having trouble staying ahead of him in my truck as I was servicing the water stations through the run as I was coming, you know, moving my way towards the finish line. He kept showing up. And so that was a little crazy.
Alyssa Henry had the women's fastest time at 3 hours and 38 minutes. Haynes athletes were the top three finishers in both men's and women's categories. There will be some changes to the race next year. Cohen says that the running route will be a loop out to the Riley Trailhead and back to the fairgrounds rather than a straight shot to the finish at the state park. That's to cut down on dust and gravel woes for the runners and to give spectators a better chance to cheer on the finishers. The race is also working on promotion to generate more participation from Whitehorse athletes. The race is hosted and supported by the nonprofit Alaska Clean Water Advocacy, of which Cohen is the director. He says he hopes one day the race will end up raising money for the group, as well as awareness about the Chilkat River. More than 750 protesters packed the street in front of the state capitol Monday, calling for the Alaska legislature to override Governor Mike Dunleavy's budget vetoes. Brian Hulse told the crowd the $440 million in cuts to state spending will increase local taxes and turn away millions of dollars in federal support. Hulse is the executive director of the Juneau Economic Development Council.
The damage by these cuts is not offset by increased dividends. We join the call on the legislature to override.
Hulse is also president of the local school board. He said the unprecedented cuts to the University of Alaska and early education will destroy the talent pipeline Alaska relies on to strengthen its economy. That point was echoed by Isra Keiko, who joined the protest along with her daughter, Allie. Keiko says she recently accepted a job out of state. Now she has to decide whether to move or to try to work from home so she doesn't have to uproot her family.
If the cuts to education occur, Allie will not go to college here. She will not go to school here because there needs to be funding for good teachers.
As the protest wrapped up, about two-thirds of the legislature was inside for the first day of the second special session. This is your KHNS Local News. I'm Claire Strumpel. This evening's broadcast included reporting from Adeline Baxter in Juneau. Thanks for joining us.